This past week, I did another 5 hours of therapy. That's what it took to deal with one memory, one long, complex trauma that was hinged on a single memory. If you've been listening to anything that I've been recording, you'll know that neglect is my deepest wound. That in my childhood, it wasn't so much that I was abused, it was that I was neglected. So although I understand abuse and I came to understand the honeymoon cycle, I didn't grow up in an atmosphere where a lot of hands were, you know, hitting other people. So I didn't see that growing up with a gay father. Perhaps I saw my father beat my mother. That may be one of the deeply buried memories, but I don't recall it. So when I ended up in a relationship with somebody who was physically abusive, I just didn't know what to make of it. It just hadn't been my experience. And although I had already been through so very much through the 80s, I couldn't have imagined what was going to happen when I moved up to a little town in Northern Ontario without a car, so that I could go to college and try to change my life. A promise that I had made to the man I love more than anyone on this planet, and he is no longer here. And he begged me on his deathbed to take what little recovery I had at the time and go off to that northern town and go to school and train myself and get out of the gay community for a second time. So with everything I had in me, I packed my bags and I went up there to live with a woman. A woman who was as damaged as me. We had met in treatment. You know, the golden rule, don't date anybody for a year after treatment. Well, I didn't, but then I moved in with her. And I couldn't have known, and she couldn't have known, and I own my part in it. I collapsed, basically. I went inside myself and tried to protect myself from every advance that she made. Yet I was the one who gave her all of the reason to expect those advances would come from me when I got there. But on that trip that we took before we moved in together, that very last night, I knew that I didn't love her. I knew that I wasn't gay. But the wheels were in motion, everything was moving forward, and all I could see was the possibility of getting into college and actually getting an opportunity to change my life. I had worked so hard to get the government to give me vocational rehab. I had acceptance and buy-in from the college. You know, I was going off into the unknown, but at least I knew that I could, with very little money, put myself through school. And I knew that her parents would help if necessary, because I did everything to prove to them that I was a good force in her life. And in many ways I was, and I know that today. But what would happen on a regular basis is she would get what I came to call the Friday fidgets. And on Friday at noon, she would have her first drink and she would begin to clean the house. And the music would get louder as the day went on and the cleaning would get just ridiculously perfectionistic and the alcohol would pour. And eventually I learned to lock myself in the bedroom right away, but not at first. Usually by sundown, she was picking a fight with me. And there was no backing off. She wanted to fight. It had nothing to do with me, but man, it didn't matter. So eventually I would lock myself into the bedroom and she would go on into whatever hours and I would plug my ears and try to sleep afraid. And I hadn't realized how the honeymoon cycle played out in my own life, and I hadn't realized how the fear in my body is still here 30 years later. I was so afraid of her. And yet, like everything else, I stayed too long at the fair. You know, I used to say it at meetings all the time. You know, it's kind of like a carnival. The rides stop, the makeup comes off, and it isn't pretty. That was my life in many ways. But now, for the first time, after the first part of the therapy, I came to understand that, of course, I stayed too long. At 4 years old, I had no other choice. For my very survival, I had to stay with my abuser. And neglect is abuse. Maybe you can't see it looking at me. But anyone who knows me well knows. I suffered deeply with the sense of not belonging, with not being loved. So I'm doing the work. So I went over this memory, and I actually, with a lot of pushing and pressing from my therapist, walked out the door in the middle of the winter on a Saturday morning after it went too far and she actually hit me. And I had no idea where I was going. And it was bitter cold. And I had a car, but I didn't have a license. So I walked along the county road until I just decided to lay down and give up. Something I had done before. And once again, a car came along. And I somehow was able to tell my story. And she was willing to take me to a counselor's house that I knew, and I wasn't even sure of where it was, but we found it. So in the rewriting of the story, I make my way to my uncle's house. And with their help, we figure out a place for me to live in Peterborough. And still on voc rehab and still ready to attend school, I move forward. And the timeline is changed. And yet, the fear is still in my body. So the next day, as we revisited the girl who had not yet figured out all those plans, we came to the point of releasing what was trapped in her body. And just as the therapist asked me what element I wanted to release into, fire, air, earth, water, I saw the fire and I saw the explosives in my hand. So I went around the house and I set the charges. And I moved way back with the picnic table to the very edge of the back of the property. And boy, did I ever resist pushing that button. But there was no one in the house. There had been nothing but pain in the house. So I blew up the house. And the fire roared. And I asked Mother Earth to take that house and to transmute it into something beautiful, into something valuable, something that she could use to nurture herself. Well, I did my very best to release the pain and the fear and the grief into the fire. Eventually, I was able to walk into the center of the fire, strong, aware of my Merkaba, rippling like coral in the layers. I could see her and the slime dripping off the ends of her fingers, Mother Earth really pulling the actual garbage out of her body. Gravity was so heavy in those moments. And yet I could see the firemen on the other side of the fire, and they were desperately, you know, hosing it down, attempting to take down this great roaring fire. And I laughed. I just laughed at their efforts while I stood there in the middle. And then after some time went by, after releasing for a good hour or more, we invited the children who were witnessing all of the parts. We invited them to release a little something. And I don't recall exactly which one we asked. It might have been grief. I'm pretty sure it was grief now that we asked if she had something she wanted to release into the fire. Well, that 32-year-old woman burned with bright fire. And grief took out a puzzle. And she poured the pieces into the fire. Onto the embers. Their edges burned and curled, for she could never quite understand the complex. She could never quite put together all of the pieces. But thankfully, grief had shown me the timeline. And for even just a moment, I saw the picture in its full depth. And now the pieces burn. Never again to try to understand how it fits together, why it was ever built in the first place. Mother Earth, take the puzzle. And then all of the witnessing parts started to pick up little bits of the embers and toss them into the fire. As the fire came closer and closer around me, they stood on the outside picking up the still hot embers, throwing them forward into the fire. And just then I saw myself go around and give them all pails, little metal pails, so they could pick up even more. Yes, release, release, let go. It's time to relinquish your jobs. I know it'll take a lot more. But I thank you, all of you, for what you have done on this day. It's time to let go of the memory. It's time to rip up the contract. Whatever she came into my life to do is done. And as I was told at the end by the most beautiful woman I know right now, I'll show you. I'll choose loving me.